This is George McTyre of the Word of God Ministry coming to you today with our message for the year, for the month of January of the year 2024. And our subject scripture is going to be taken from the Old Testament book of Ecclesiastes, chapter number 3. And we're going to read verse 1. That's going to be the main scripture. But we're going to basically be going through several verses from this chapter, starting with verse 1 and going down to verse number 8. Our main scripture is going to be taken from Ecclesiastes chapter number 3 and verse number 1, where it says, "To everything there is a season, a time to every purpose under heaven." The title for this message is "Now is the Time," part number 1. Now is the time, part number 1. Now, first of all, let me say that I hope you and yours had a Merry Christmas and that you are starting this year on a happy note. Now, the message for this month and next month, at least, has to do with something that, in a sense, is what we symbolically do every year at this time. And that is, we cast behind us what happened in the past year and look forward to a new year with new goals and fresh ideas. In the course of our lives, there are things that occur that we tend to just overlook as being minor peaks and valleys that we tend to forget about because in our minds, they are no big deal. Now, then there are other times or other things that tend to be monumental in that they tend to be the cause of our altering our way, the way that we think and do things. These are things that tend to make us who we are or will be. When these things occur, we need to realize this. God has allowed this to come about as a means to guide us into a place that he desires us to be in, so that he can use us to bless us and others and to bring glory to himself. When things, no matter what they are, occur, they are by the design and providence of God. He is in control. If you will look at the subject scripture, it is the beginning of an 8-verse dissertation on time. The times addressed in this passage are labeled seasons. This means that the periods of time are not necessarily split second, but rather over the course of days, weeks, months, or years. What I intend to do is take you step by step through those verses so that you can get the picture that God has painted for us. Hopefully, when I am through, you will have a barometer as to how you should be dealing with things that come into your life and get in line with his plans for it. Now, verse number 2 says, it starts out saying, a time to be born and a time to die. A time to plant and a time to pluck up that which is planted. It starts out with the obvious fact that everything that is born will at some point die. There is no way of getting around it. Every minute, or I could say every second of every day, someone is taking their last breath and slipping out of the realm of the living. The Bible tells us it is appointed unto mankind once to die. You can find that in Hebrews. In the New Testament, Hebrews chapter 9, verse number 27. You can thank Adam for that. Meanwhile, at the other end of the spectrum, while that is happening, in other words, while somebody is dying, someone else is taking their first breaths in the land of the living. Now, while we have no choice as to when we enter this life, we do have choices as to how long we remain here. People find this a little hard to believe given the age-old saying that seems to suggest that you have a preset time to die. They say when it is your time, it's your time. Many get that idea from this particular verse of scripture. In other words, there's a time to be born and a time to die. However, the thing is, that is patently false. The Bible lets us know that there are certain things that we can do to either prolong or cut short our time on this earth. One of the examples is in the Ten Commandments. God admonishes children to honor or obey their parents so that they may have long lives. That can be found in Exodus in the Old Testament, chapter number 20 and verse 12. Does that sound like a preset time to live? If we look around us today and the tragedy of what is happening to our young people as to how their lives have ended way too soon, we will see that most of them pursued things that showed they had little or no regard as to or for what their parents had told them. Now, of course, this is presuming that their parents were godly. When it comes to adults, the same thing applies, but on a different level. We may or may not have honored our parents and lived to adulthood, but we dishonor God, who is all of our parent. So as you can see, there are no two ways about it, young or old. If you dishonor your parent or parents, you will shorten your life on this earth. Ultimately, at that point, if God determines that there is still some hope for you, He might allow you to hang around a little longer than someone else, for which He determines otherwise. It is, after all up to Him. The verse goes on to say there is a time to plant and a time to pluck up that which was planted. This has a couple of meanings. As anyone that has planted flowers, fruits, and vegetables can attest to, there are certain times of the year to plant what you want to produce and a different time to pluck it up or pluck up what you have planted. If you don't regard these times or these seasons, then you will not be able to reap the benefits of what you planted. When it comes to human behavior, there are times when you should be planting or investing in things like family, friends, community, and the like, for the purpose of being seen as someone that is what society sees as a productive member and a credit to that community and society. The golden rule says, do unto others as you would have them do unto you. You can find that in Mark chapter number 17 and verse number 12. This is the root of many of our problems today. We want to treat others any old type of way, and when they repay us, then we want to complain about how they are somehow disrespecting us. Galatians 6 and 7 says, "You reap what you sow." When we reap the consequences of our actions, positive or negative, that is tantamount to us plucking up what we have sown. Can you imagine a world where everyone honored their godly parents' advice and treated each other as they wish to be treated? That would be something. As a side note here, I'm thinking about the song John Lennon of the Beatles produced back in the late 60s, early 70s, around there, the song called Imagine, where he basically was trying to describe something that really, given his limited knowledge of circumstances, he had the right thought, but the way he characterized it was something that's not going to really happen, because it's not in human nature to be able to do that and survive, especially when he talk about, imagine there's no heaven or no hell. That's tantamount to saying that imagine then evidently that there's no God. And if you're doing that, you in for hell. Literally and figuratively. All right, back to our message. In verse number 3, it says there's a time to kill and a time to heal. A time to break down and a time to build up. There are times that despite what we would like doing, we are called on to kill. And there is a time to heal. What this means is certain individuals will come into our lives that, for all intents and purposes, have nothing but our destruction in mind. And regardless of how we try to show the love of God to them, they still want to destroy us and our families, community, and nation. It is at this time that we have to determine that the only way to protect ourselves and our families is to destroy the individual or individuals before they can destroy us. Now, it's not a pleasant thought, but it is what it is. Certain people need to be gotten rid of, and not by putting them in prison or some other place of confinement, where as their punishment, we provide them with just about all of the amenities that they would have outside, like food, health care, conjugal visits, and entertainment for the rest of their lives. Now, this should be something that you know about. Did you know that many of these confined individuals have managed to orchestrate the killing of people in the prison? In other words, like other prisoners, including guards in the prison, as well as having friends that are outside of prison destroy their enemies outside the prison, out on the streets. Locking someone like this up in hopes of neutralizing them or re-educating them is not a wise thing to do. It is both a waste of time and money. God's money. The first verse of chapter 1 of this book tells us that the author of this book, in other words, the first verse of chapter 1 of the book of Ecclesiastes, says that this book, that the author of this book is Solomon, the wisest man to ever be born of a woman apart from Jesus Christ. So, he ought to know what is what in situations like this. He and his forefathers have plenty examples for us to go by. The next part says there is a time to heal. That term means there is a time to forgive an individual for the evil that they may have done to you, to restore them back to a position that they had with you before the offense. Now, the classic example of that is God forgiving us for the evil that we have done to Him, especially by crucifying His only begotten Son, our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. If He can forgive us for this, then we should be able to forgive others for any and everything that they can do to us. Of course, just like God, who requires us to admit our transgressions and ask forgiveness, so too, when someone asks your forgiveness of them for what they have done, then you should be big enough to do the same. In fact, Jesus says, if you will not forgive those that have offended you or trespassed against you or done something to you, then God will not forgive you for what you have done and your offenses and your trespasses and sins against Him. Matthew chapter 6, verses 14 and 15, and Mark chapter 11, verses 25 and 26 tell the tale or the story. I'm not making this up. Now, as you can see, God always sets the example before He commands us to follow. The verse then goes on to say there is a time to break down and a time to build up. There are times in our lives where something that we have constructed as the foundation that our lives are built on needs to be torn down because it is doing us no good at all. And in most cases, is downright dangerous. This can cover a wide range of instances, but in order to save time and space, I will capsulize it by giving you the basic example, and that is our spiritual condition. From the time we are born, our spiritual condition is at enmity or at war against God. Except for the very young, we have adopted a lifestyle that is absent of any recognition of God. Everything we do, everything we think, and everything we are becoming is leading us to a position of warfare against Him. When problems arise, instead of turning to Him, we look to others for solutions. When they tell us what we need to do, we very seldom question them and adopt their solutions into our lives. And as usual, when they fail, we go back to those same individuals for another solution. By this time, any person with a half a lick of sense would say, I need to try something different because this isn't working. That is when you need to change to something different. That is when you begin to, quote unquote, tear down those things in your life that aren't working. What is needed is a totally different mindset. One that seeks to go outside of the human intellect that is destroying us all and turn to God, who has a proven record of straightening up the catastrophes that men make of their lives. When you do that, you will be entering a realm that you might not fully understand at first, but that's fine. No one that I know of outside of Jesus Christ fully understands it. However, with time and getting an understanding of it, you will begin to grow or build up your knowledge and faith in God. Of course, when you do this, the others that you have left behind will begin to see you as not being one of them anymore, meaning this step will cost you friends and sometimes even family. Speaking from personal experience, I will tell you, when I made that change, many of my friends and family supported me in the effort, even though some of them didn't understand it. However, over time, they began to see a change in me and wanted to know what it was that made me different. It was at that time I told them that I had put my faith in Jesus Christ and His solutions rather than man and His solutions. There comes a time in the lives of every individual that they need to examine their lives as to where they are in the way of achieving the American dream. In order to do that, they must take an honest look at all sides of the issue and be able to accurately decipher the clues and evidence to be able to make the right choice. You can't do that if you are blinded by an ideology or pride that will only allow you to view things the way you were taught by your parents, friends, and community leaders. All of this is the result of human nature, which, as I mentioned earlier, is totally at odds with everything that God says. This is what has to be torn down before you can build a better foundation to build your future on. Next month, we will continue in the area of time. And once again, Happy New Year. This is Evangelist George McTyre. Hoping, like I said, that you and your family have a happy and prosperous New Year. May God bless you and your family real good. Until next time, good day.